The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
The airing of this program by this station is not an endorsement or recommendation by the station of the products or services discussed in the program. The station does not guarantee the results of any investments made by a listener to this program.
Josh Pick is the Chief Investment Advisor with Aptus Wealth Management, a state-registered investment advisory firm. This program is sponsored by Aptus Wealth Management. Exposure to ideas and financial vehicles discussed should not be considered investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell financial vehicle. This information should not be considered tax or legal advice. Individuals should consult with professionals to see if any ideas expressed would fit their specific situation. Past performance is not a guarantee of future results. Securities can fluctuate and when redeemed may be more or less than when originally invested.
Thank you for joining us. This is the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. I'm Bruce Hooley here with Josh Pick of Aptus Wealth Management. And for the next hour, we are going to discuss retirement, investing, all the things that are even more challenging in a very volatile economy right now in a presidential election year. We're looking forward to discussing those topics with you and helping you. And that's what they're about at Aptus. They're located in Lewis Center. They specialize in helping you plan for and execute a successful approach to and existence in retirement. You can take advantage of the free consultation that they offer you by calling their office and setting up your appointment. Their number is 614-917-1040, 614-917-1040. You can also make your appointment online at their website, which is aptuswealth.com, A-P-T-U-S, aptuswealth.com. Josh, as we start the program this week, we had inflation numbers that were not welcomed by the market and were seen, as much as anything I can really recall here recently, as being indicative of a trend, and a trend that was not really in line with what I think people were hoping, which is for a rate cut from the Fed. We've got a fair amount of Fed officials, including one who used to work in the Obama administration, saying now is not the time to cut rates. So it looks like, if we can read the tea leaves accurately, and sometimes that's hard from the things that are said because there's always one official saying one thing, one economist saying another thing, one person predicting this, another person predicting that. This seems to be pretty much of a consensus as I can recall, that the Fed is not on the cusp of lowering interest rates anytime soon.
Yeah, which is almost contradictory to what they had been saying mm-hmm. for quite some time, which made logical sense. They were, every single rate increase that they put into the market seemed to reduce inflation. But now inflation seems to be a little bit stickier than we had hoped. And, you know, that the risk there is, if we or take a history lesson from the 70s and heading into the 80s, you know, we did cut rates we did raise rates quite a bit. And then we thought we had inflation licked. But then we started backing off rates, and that caused a whole host of problems where the federal funds rate was, I think, at one point higher than 20%. So I think we're trying to thwart that off. But you and I were talking offline, at least one good thing in that, I think it was last week we talked about, is the Fed really influenced politically?
Yeah.
We said, well, how can it not be when your job is appointed by the president? But this kind of goes against that, and that they're taking a stance that would not be helpful for them.
Yeah, I cited somebody who used to work for President Obama during his administration, and I think a lot of our listeners have probably seen Austin Goolsbee on various news shows across all networks. He was an economic official in the Biden administration. I've seen him on Fox. I've seen him on MSNBC, on CNN. He now is the Chicago Fed president. And one of the things, as you said, we've discussed is the Fed says it's politically independent, but is that in conflict with human nature, where the Fed president, Jerome Powell, knows that Donald Trump, candidate for president on the Republican side of the ticket, has said if he becomes president a second time, he'll change who the Fed president is. Okay, well, we know that the Biden administration would love to see rates come down. Is there political independence? Austin Goolsbee, having worked for Barack Obama, I think we can say he's probably a Biden voter, but he's certainly not pushing for a rate cut. He says progress on inflation has stalled, and that it now makes sense to wait before cutting rates. He said typically if these inflation numbers, and they were 3.5% if you take out gas and food, at 3.8% year over year, so prices up, you know, essentially 4% from March of 2023 to March of 2024. That's double what they view as acceptable, 2%. He's saying, look, we can't ignore this anymore. 3 months of this, and here's the direct quote, it cannot be dismissed.
And the market certainly did not like it. If you're not a fan of market volatility, you have not been a fan of the market over the last couple of weeks. And there's no shortage of things beyond this to start looking at when we're looking at the market in general and the volatility that we've seen. You know, we have Iran and Israel, mm-hmm. and we have Ukraine, and the list goes on and on. Now, you know, there's some debate over what was a cyber attack in the United States, mm-hmm. from AT&T to the 911 system to the, so there's no shortage of things that are concerning to folks as they look at their retirement. I actually talked to a client today, a potential new client, and they said, you know, I don't want to look at my retirement through the lens of now I'm retiring and it looks like 08-09 and I get caught kind of with my pants down. What things should I be doing? So as you look at interest rates, we can start talking about some things that might be advantageous and things that might not. One reprieve, I guess, that we get from interest rates, which if you're looking to buy a house, this certainly isn't a reprieve for you. But if you have liquid savings, you know, over the last couple of, I would say about the last month, we've been talking about, you know, it might be a time to start locking in interest rates. Well, the belief at that time was if you like guaranteed money, if you don't lock in very, very quickly, you're going to be left with locking in at lower and lower and lower rates. Well, it looks like we have a little bit more time for that.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were a little slow on the pull there, you still have some time to lock in some pretty attractive interest rates, the highest interest rates we've seen really since the beginning of the 2000s, probably 2001, 2002. So there is some advantages to these high interest rates, but limiting market volatility and buying a house are not two of them.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting. Like, I have a daughter who's midway through college. It's going to be, 5 to 7 years is probably the window on her wanting to buy a house. And I was having a conversation with my wife last night. My wife's 10 years younger than I am. And I said, I don't think people really have an understanding of how long it's going to take rates to go down an appreciable amount, because I know inflation was raging out of control in 1980 when Jimmy Carter was president, Reagan got elected. I bought my first house in 1989, so almost a decade later, and interest rates, like you said, home interest rates were up at 18% at that time. 10 years later, or almost 10, in 1989, I bought my first house. The loan was carried by the person who sold me the house. He happened to be a realtor who had owned the property as a rental property, and he wanted to sell it. And he carried me below market at 10%. So we're talking about 9 years after rates were at 18%. They were down, but not down even half to 9%. They were still above 10 because I got a good deal. I didn't have to pay closing costs or anything like that. So I guess my point in that is, the things that make investing difficult, volatility, unpredictability. Is it true that, like now, we think we have a consensus here on what rates are going to be for a while, that there's a workaround or a way that investors, and you in particular as a fiduciary responsible for doing, legally obligated to do what's best for your clients, is it more difficult to do what you do and do it well on behalf of your clients when there's volatility and unpredictability, or when there are things that we would generally label as bad economic conditions like high interest rates? Would you rather, essentially a simpler way to ask it is, would you rather know or not know?
Well, we definitely rather know. And every market condition has its own set of challenges. For example, if you were retiring a few years ago, on one hand, we have a very attractive market. But does that mean that somebody who's retiring should have 100% of their money in the market? Well, of course not, because we know that volatility at some point will pick up, and that can be a challenge. So they want to have some of their money in guaranteed fixed stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But that guaranteed fixed stuff wasn't really paying anything. If you remember, just a mere year and a half, 2 years ago, we were at, if you could find a CD paying 1.5%, you're almost, you found the diamond in the rough.
Yeah.
And now, I mean, you can get money markets over 5%. So there's challenges in both environments. And obviously all of these are important in regards to where you are on the spectrum of retirement. If you're 30, market volatility can be a really good thing. If you're 73, market volatility, not such a good thing anymore. But what we always can control is certain variables. We can't control all of them, but certain variables we can control. For example, we've talked many times about limiting how much upside or downside I'm willing to accept. But there are other variables that sometimes get brushed under the rug that we have to always look at, and those are costs. What is the cost associated with the investments that I have? So let me give an example. You might be fine with the market, and you say, I want to be in the market, but maybe you're in the market through something called a variable annuity. And a variable annuity has inherently other costs beyond what, let's say, investing in a mutual fund would have. Now, does that mean that a variable annuity is inherently bad? Of course not. But I'll give you an example of a client that came into my office just recently. She's in her 80s. The purpose of her money is to leave it to her children. She has no desire to touch the money, but for whatever reason, whomever she met with decided that a variable annuity would be the best solution for them. And also, she should have all of these income benefits attached to it. Now, remember, I just told you,
she has no desire
for income.
Yeah.
She's paying 1.4% per year additionally for an income benefit that she never has any intention of using. On top of that, the fact that she has a variable annuity is another 1.4% just for the luxury of having this variable annuity. Now, I won't dive into administrative costs and all these other things that can be associated with it, but just know that she's paying about 3% per year for something she doesn't even need. And when I explained this to her, she said, I didn't even know what a variable annuity was. Quite frankly, I just went to the bank and the bank told me this was a good thing. So, you know, I trust the bank. I've banked there my whole life.
Sure.
So the point here is there's investment methodologies that you and I, Bruce, talk about all the time. Should you be in the market? Should you be fixed? What does that ratio look like? And that's important. But in times like these, I think it's equally important that when there's volatility amongst us, when there's goals ahead of us, what are the fees that we're paying for and what are we getting for those fees? So something we do all the time, and I'll offer it up to everybody else that's listening here, is let's review what you have. Even if we don't change the strategy, can we reduce your costs? Well, in her instance, we reduced them by 75%.
Wow.
Does that make a big difference in the long run? Of course it does.
Sure. Well, that is one of the things that I remember discussing with you when Sherry and I came in for our free consultation. And, you know, it's no obligation at all. You guys can set it up by calling Aptus Wealth Management at 614-917-1040. The number again is 614-917-1040. You can also make your appointment by just doing it online. AptusWealth.com is their website, AptusWealth.com. They're located in Lewis Center, just off Route 750, very easy to get to, and it's not far from 23 and 270. Generally, is there a time where people want, I think in particular with their retirement investments, they want as much certainty as they can get, because that's kind of the thing that motivated us to come was, I said before, I didn't want to make a big mistake. I didn't want to be left without time to make up for whatever mistakes we made. And I didn't want to, for lack of a better term, be working without a net. And, you know, we can talk at some point about, you know, what options we chose that might work for other people. But generally what I want to know is like you mentioned, variables and mortgages can have adjustable rates, and I'm sure investments can have adjustable rates. Is it true or not true that at a time where you have the kind of market volatility and interest rate levels that we have now, that you wouldn't want to be in anything that has a variable rate, or can that sometimes work to your advantage even when conditions are such as they are right now?
Well, ideally, I think we'd all like to just say that we picked this perfect investment that generates 20% a year with no risk and it's guaranteed.
Yeah.
If you hear that, by the way, that's probably some sort of Ponzi scheme. Don't accept that. But, you know, I think fear and greed drive most of our decisions in life. And it's even more apparent when it comes to investing. When the market's doing really, really well, that greed, you know, kind of peers over our shoulder, sure, and says, get in, that fear of missing out. But then when the market does really poorly, we feel like there's no bottom, we need to get out, and the fear kicks in. And the problem with most investors is they do the exact opposite of what they're supposed to do, which is buy low and sell high. They end up buying somewhere on the way up on top of the roller coaster, and then they sell out towards the bottom of the roller coaster because of that fear and greed metric. Unfortunately, it's because we're not using principles that have been proven over time, and we only plan when we either feel like we're missing out or when we feel like, well, it's doomsday, when in reality we should be planning all the time. So if you believe that there's a lot of concerns with the market right now, which I think would be very easy to justify.
Sure.
If you believe that's the case, don't sit around and wait for 6 months. And then when it actually pulls back 10 or 20%, then go, well, I better do something because I don't want to lose 30. The train's already left the station. We got to do something now. And I think to expand upon your question, is there certain kind of general rules? There are, but everybody's individual. So don't pick a, well, this one says I'm 60 years old, so I'm supposed to be invested this way, or I'm 20 years old, I'm supposed to be invested this way. That's a good guideline, but it's not exactly where you should be.
So we've chatted over the last year about a condition that's present in our economy and in the investing world right now that's not typical, which is the inverted yield curve, which basically is, in the past, if you gave your money to an entity as an investment, the longer they held your money, the higher rate of return you're going to get. That has not been true. That's the inversion here is. And now we're in conditions where, or at least it has been, I assume it's still true, the shorter period of time people have your money, the higher the investment you're getting now. So is there any reason why anybody would want to be in a long-term investment now, given the fact that we have that inverted yield curve?
Well, the inverted yield curve, fortunately, does not apply to everything. So when you talk about CDs, for example, absolutely apparent. You can get a higher rate of return on a 6 month or a 12 month CD than you could on a 2 year. And that's reflective of the general concern that at some point the Fed's going to lower interest rates and the banks don't want to be caught hanging out there paying rates that they can no longer achieve. When you're talking about treasury rates or bonds, that can be a significant problem. Because as interest rates go down, bond prices go up. But if you're buying additional new issue bonds, well, you're getting a lower and lower reward. And that's a big debate now. The bond industry is a really hot topic. But when you look at things like fixed annuity rates, and fixed annuities, for those of you who don't know, are basically just like a CD. I'm going to give you X rate of return for X period of time. That's it. The one benefit that you get to them is you usually get some liquidity or some ability for you to access your money before the end of that maturity, which you don't get in a CD. Those rates are actually really attractive right now. And we actually started seeing a pullback in those rates because the anticipation was the Fed was going to lower rates sometime in the future. We saw a pullback in them. Mm. But now that we've had, so, you know, you said it was a consensus good. Mm-hmm. There's this general consensus that the Fed will not lower rates as quickly. We're seeing those creep back up again, which is why at the beginning of the show, I said, if you kind of missed the first train, it looks like you got some respite. You got another shot at it.
So again, take advantage of the free consultation and have Josh go into these topics in greater detail with you so that you understand. That's, I've said before, one of the best things about the consultation is that you'll be able to ask any question you want to ask. Josh will also ask you a series of questions to find out if you're a fit with their firm, and it's really an educational experience. Gain that information, gain that knowledge. It's a free, totally without obligation consultation. 614-917-1040 is the number at Aptus to set that up. 614-917-1040. You can also make your appointment at their online website, which is aptuswealth.com, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. So when you say a yield curve is inverted, it means it's upside down. We've always had, or at least I've had, this picture that if you had a long time to retirement, you want to be in the market. If you have a short time to retirement, you want to pull some of that money back, put it in vehicles that are less volatile, less subject to fluctuation. Is there anything about that equation with what we've typically thought was smart for somebody who's 35 compared to somebody who's 65? Is there anything about that equation that's volatile and flipped upside down now, like the yield curve is flipped upside down now, or are the same kinds of investment vehicles still smart for people of a certain age as their proximity to retirement is maybe closer rather than further away?
Well, there's no question that as you get closer and closer to retirement, predictability becomes more and more important. And we've covered the risk of sequence of returns, which just simply means even though I've averaged a rate of return over time, I might look at my mutual fund statement and say, over the last 20 years, I'm going to average an 8% rate of return. And let's assume that over the next 20 years, I'm going to average an 8% rate of return. The order in which those returns happen, which is very unpredictable, we have no idea if it's going to be negative 10 this year or positive 10, that can have a tumultuous impact on your money as you're drawing income from it. So again, we want it to be more and more predictable. But what that predictable investment is can kind of change with time. So for about the last 40 years, the best option for you, for the most part, with fixed money was put it in bonds. And that's because for about the last 40 years, interest rates have done nothing but go down. Well, interest rates and bonds are inversely related. So bonds were a great way to kind of offset the risk of the market, get a reward for doing so at a pretty significant rate. Bonds actually averaged almost 6% over that time period, which is pretty darn strong.
Yeah.
Considering the market didn't do that much more than that. But now we're looking at a different environment, and we've gone through a rising interest rate environment. We're saying we're going to hold interest rates, maybe pull them back, maybe go higher. We don't really know what's going to happen with bonds. So the only thing that really changes is, where do I put the money? And fortunately, there's a lot of choices on where you can put the money. Unfortunately, a lot of those choices can become complicated. Like, and I'll reference back to the annuity conversation again. Annuities are not bad, but there's a lot of versions of them, and some of them can become atrociously expensive. And sometimes people feel like when they get in these, maybe they got in the wrong time, maybe they bought the wrong one, they were sold a bill of goods or whatever you think it might be, and they say, well, man, I'm locked into this thing for 7 years. If I leave, I have a penalty. Well, let's just not forget that insurance companies are, in fact, greedy, and they're aware of this type of situation where people bought contracts at low interest rates, or they bought contracts with exorbitantly high fees attached to it, and they want to get out. So what do insurance companies do? Well, it's easier to steal from others than it is to go find your own new clients. So they offer bonuses. So they say, well, what's your penalty again? I have a 4% penalty to leave. Well, good news for you. We have a 6% bonus to move you over, which is good for them, but it also can be good for you. So I don't want you to think that just because they're offering a bonus, it's a bait and switch. It might be just a newer, better product at newer interest rates.
Yeah. So give me some of the visceral kind of objections people have to annuities, or maybe what some of the common misunderstandings are about annuities.
Some of them are warranted. Are there types of annuities that are very expensive? Yes. Are there types of annuities that have a lot of hidden things that, you know, we kind of did this mathematical equation to confuse the heck out of you, and we convinced you to pay for something that you're never going to benefit from? Does that exist? Does it exist? Yes. But the typical, kind of refute to annuities is the lockup period.
Mm-hmm.
Not all annuities, by the way, have them. So there's a myriad of different types. Some of them have no lockup period whatsoever. Some of them have a 1 year all the way up to, I've seen them go past 10 years. Is that necessarily a bad thing? Well, it depends on what we're using it for. So I'll have people, for example, say, I only plan on taking the interest off my money. Okay. Well, this pays a 5% interest. Oh, that's great. I can't get that at the bank. Okay. So you're going to take 5% out. We're going to lock the money up for 5 years, and you can take up to 10% of whatever's in the account out. I don't want to lock it up for 5 years because I can't get my money. Well, you have access to twice as much as what you just said you wanted to have access for. Well, what if there's an emergency? Well, that's why we didn't put all your money here. Yeah. We're going to segment it out and kind of ladder it out. And unfortunately, the answer is not kind of a one size fits all thing. It's, yeah, we have to have a bunch of different buckets or a bunch of different colors on that pinwheel of allocation that do different things and have different access to it. But overall, what we're trying to do is increase rate of return, lower risk, so that we have more predictability. And you just have to be open to all the options that you have available.
Can an annuity make sense for someone regardless of how far they are away from their planned retirement age?
Well, let me ask you this question. Can a pension make sense for people no matter what age they are?
I always get nervous answering your questions because, yeah, I'm afraid I'll answer.
Everybody would like a pension, right?
Yes.
Right? So if I could tell you that when you turn age 65, you're going to get exactly this dollar
yes,
amount for the rest
like
of your
that.
Life,
yeah,
you would like that. All a pension is a deferred annuity contract that is annuitized at the end of the tunnel. Now, I'm not suggesting that everybody should run out and buy an annuity, yeah, contract, or that I'm pro-annuity,
right,
and I'm an annuity guy. That said, you just have to open your mind to the possibilities and look at things pragmatically and logically and make your decision accordingly.
Yeah, and that's the thing about it is, like, look, your performance on your investments is going to be affected by market conditions. I mean, that's inarguable, but your performance is also going to be affected by who you have kind of driving the bus. Josh is driving the bus for me and my wife, and I am very happy with the results that we've gotten. You're not out anything to go in and sit for your free consultation. You'll learn a lot at the very least. You may become a client. you may opt not to become a client. That's okay, too. But at least you'll have the information and you'll understand these concepts a lot more. Set up your consultation today by calling 614-917-1040. 614-917-1040. You can make your appointment online. Their website is aptuswealth.com, A-P-T-U-S, aptuswealth.com. Near 23 and 270, just off Route 750 in Lewis Center, Aptus Wealth Management. And we'll be back with more very shortly. Thanks for joining us here on the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show. Bruce Hooley and Josh Pick with you, anxious to talk with you, eager to talk with you about investing and helping you arrive at a worry-free retirement. Financial independence later in life. Does that sound good? Yeah, it certainly does. You've worked hard. Let your work work for you with investments. Saving not enough. Got to invest. That's what they specialize in at Aptus Wealth Management, helping you get to that financially independent state later on in life. When you transition out of everyday working or maybe continue to work, but just want an income stream from your investments. They're located in Lewis Center, easy to reach, and they offer you a free no obligation consultation. 614-917-1040 is their office number. You can call that number and set up your appointment. 614-917-1040. Remember, I said no obligation, no cost at all. 614-917-1040. You can also make your appointment online and find out more about Aptus on their website at Aptus Wealth, A-P-T-U-S, aptuswealth.com. So, Josh, I don't know if you're like me, but I listen to a lot of other people do what I do so that I can, you know, learn from them or hear how they execute a show or how they ask questions or whatever. In your world, you've been very successful at this for a very long time, but I'm sure you also hear people say things. And like I do, I hear people do radio shows or podcasts and I think, well, you could have done that better or that particular question wasn't very well stated or you just totally missed what your guest said and you missed out. Does that happen with you? Like when you're surveying or hearing what other people are saying about market conditions or smart moves that investors should make? I mean, you got entire channels that you could watch all day long and probably stand there and say yes to that, no to that, maybe to that.
Yeah, I mean, there's no shortage of financial quote unquote experts to follow. And while I won't, you know, throw any of them under the bus, and I will give them credit where credit's due. I mean, anybody who's out there telling people, get out of debt, save money, plan for your goals in retirement, learn the emotional impact of comfort that you gain from making sound financial decisions. I'm all for all of that. What I'm not for is some of the recommendations that I hear. And I'll give you one that I just happened to see on a YouTube short mm-hmm. not too long ago. And again, I'll remain nameless, but this was the scenario. I'm a 58-year-old male. I have no debt. I have $3 million. Can I retire? That was the question posed. Immediate response, yes. Well, that depends. How much do you want to live on would determine how long $3 million will work.
Yeah, I was going to ask, like, what kind of lifestyle do you want to maintain?
Okay, so let's assume that we dove in deeper and we got that answer. This was the information that was provided. If you put all of that money in a growth mutual fund, you can anticipate somewhere between an 11 and 12% annual rate of return, so you can live on 10% a year and adjust it for inflation over time. So as long as you can live on $300,000 a year, you'll be fine. Now, if I said that, I would lose my license because that is not even remotely in the ballpark of any sort of fundamental analysis of any retirement plan on the planet. Matter of fact, we've been, you know, there's some debate going on over about the 4% rule, which we've talked mm-hmm. about on the show. Mm-hmm. How much can I withdraw from my accounts? Well, it's somewhere between 3.5% and 5% based upon who you're listening to or what research analyst you're looking at. But I would say that either any of those is at least half of what was just recommended to this person. So if somebody's 58 years old, they put 100% of their money in growth mutual funds and they pull out 10% a year. The only thing that I can guarantee is your retirement is about as safe as a flip of a coin. You have no idea if you'll be fine. And that was the advice that was given. And that's the advice that this particular person might end up taking. And you might ask, well, how in the world can these financial quote unquote experts that so many people follow and they buy their books and they buy their systems and they're following all their practices and they go see them speak at a large event, pay tickets. It's because none of them are licensed. They're not actually licensed to provide the advice. Matter of fact, they don't even shy away from that. They say, you can go see a professional, but I come from the school of hard knocks.
Sure.
I went bankrupt, or this thing happened, and I got too over-leveraged in real estate, or I went too doing this, or whatever it might be. And through that, I learned certain tenets. And they'll lean upon, you know, really wealthy people that they've followed over the years. Or they'll lean into the Bible and the tenets that the Bible provides as far as, you know, money and investing, which it does give us a guide. And all those things are great. But it doesn't mean that the information that they're providing is any more justified. So I would be very cautious and careful about watching some of those people. We can dive into some more examples if you want, but I think that's pretty glaringly obvious.
Well, I think I mentioned a lot of times here when I'm talking to people about you that you fall under a class of investment advisors called you're a fiduciary. And a fiduciary, tell people what it means.
Yeah, I mean, a fiduciary essentially means that you have to do what's in the best interests of your client. And you might say, well, doesn't every financial planner need to do that? And the answer is no. The old way that our business was run before there was this really dramatic fiduciary standard and even a segment between what makes a broker or a commission-based salesperson different from a fee-based or a fiduciary financial planner. And the difference is this. If I'm a broker, I have to do what is suitable for the client. Well, suitable doesn't necessarily mean it's in your best interest. For example, if you are going to Miami, Florida at any given point in the year, and you say, I'm here looking for clothes, and you're a size large, and I sell you a down parka, it is suitable for you. It is certainly not in your best interest to go to Miami. Similarly, if I sell you snow tires in Miami, well, they're suitable for your car. They fit, but not what you need in Miami. So when you say in your best interest, what's the difference? Well, I'd have to ask more questions. And selling you a parka could actually get my license removed from me because I didn't do what was in your best interest. I did what was in my best interest because I get paid a commission, and a $300 parka pays a lot better commission than a $20 t-shirt.
So how wide a swath or how open to interpretation is that space where it can't just be that the advice you gave a client ended up with them taking a negative return on their investment? Otherwise, you know, I mean, things happen in markets that are beyond the control of the investment counselor. How wide of a swath is the interpretation on whether you're staying within and being faithful to those fiduciary responsibilities?
Yeah, well, it's pretty regulated. So while we have some autonomy, and we want to have some autonomy, because I wouldn't want a regulator telling me I have to put everything in Fidelity funds or some, you know, not picking on Fidelity, but some name, I want to have some autonomy to be able to pick what I think is in your best interest. I have to stay within guidelines that are generally accepted in practice. Beyond that, if you have any additional, you know, kind of any additional training or any additional designations, they will also track you in the ethical decisions that you're making. But even if those weren't the case, as a fiduciary, you get audited by the state or by the SEC, depending upon, you know, who regulates you. And they're going to pull up accounts and say, tell me why you did what you did. And you better be able to answer that. So if you look at our financial plans are going to be based in long-standing financial principles, custom tailored specifically to you, monitored at least twice a year, invested accordingly, and notes will be kept from every conversation on the changes that we made, why, and how they were in your best interest. And if I'm ever pulled up on a court of, because, you know, quite frankly, let's be honest. I mean, a judge isn't going to understand finance as well as you know, maybe even you know, I mean, their job is not to understand finances. So I better be able to not only explain it, but give a side by side net to net comparison on why we moved. So we were talking about in the last segment, we were talking about annuities. And I said, just because you have a 4% surrender doesn't mean that you might be stuck there. There might be a better option for you. Well, I better be able to justify that. So, okay, they had $100,000. When they left, it was only 96, but when they landed where they went, it was 104, and their fees are now 75% cheaper. That's very, very justifiable, assuming that they, if we're locking up for another time period, they didn't say, oh, by the way, my other plan was I wanted all my money available to me in 2 years and you put me in a 5-year plan. So these are very basics, but then it gets very specific from there.
Set up your consultation at Aptus by calling 614-917-1040 or making your appointment online at aptuswealth.com, APTUS, aptuswealth.com. If you're outside the area, Josh does take clients from outside Central Ohio. But if possible, would like the consultation to take place in person and have that personal interaction. They're located in Lewis Center off Route 750, not far from the 23270 interchange. Again, that number at the office to set up your free, no-obligation consultation is 614-917-1040. When a client and their investment advisor have a dispute and the allegation is made that the advisor, if they are a fiduciary, is not living up to that responsibility, is it more often related to just a return that the client is unhappy with, or is it related to like fees? Because a lot of people, when they hear the word fee, they initially, like, their hackles go up and they think, oh, that's automatically bad if I'm paying a fee for an investment vehicle.
Sure. Well, fortunately, I've never had to be a part of any of these, but ultimately, if there's any debate, whether that's over fees or negligence or performance or, you know, whatever the reason might be, a complaint is filed with the respective parties. So you can actually look every advisor up anywhere you want and find out what their background looks like. And I think you'd be shocked if you looked up maybe even your own financial planner. Mm-hmm. You might find some things that you didn't know existed. And it will track everything from, has my financial planner ever filed bankruptcy? Now, I'm not faulting anybody for filing bankruptcy. That's why we have bankruptcy laws. But what might be an interesting thing to find out?
Yeah, it's a good piece of information to have, for sure.
Right. So what happens is the complaint is filed. An auditor for that will come out. They will do a formal finding. And if you are found guilty, just like anything else, there's restitution, et cetera. And all that is kept on your record. It's kept track. So, you know, you can kind of take a peek at that. But what the complaint is, almost always ones that go through, it's because the particular investment vehicle was not suitable or in the best interests of the client at all.
Okay. So what are some other scenarios? You outlined the one 58-year-old man, $3 million. When you outlined that, I'm like, put it all in growth. Like, that's risky. Like, you don't know what could happen. Like, we've had a really bad week in the market here, maybe over 20 years, okay. But that one struck me as like, whoa, even I would know that that's like not in line just from our conversations together here on the show. What are some other things that you've heard people say? And they may be people who have command a lot of respect in the field, and you were like, whoa, wait a second.
Yeah, well, one that I see very often, and again, not pointing fingers at anybody individually, but it's the doomsdayers. The advice is everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket. Yeah. So if you're not prepared, like the wealthy prepare, you will not be on the ark that gets you away from these stormy seas, right? And then you'll notice that during the intermission of the show, it's buy gold at blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, yeah.
And to think that that company isn't affiliated with the person speaking and they're not double dipping on both sides would probably be naive. And we see that a lot. And the doomsdayers, you know, believe it or not, even a broken watch is right twice a day. So if I just say for the next 30 years that the market this year is going to crash, eventually I'm going to be right. And then when I'm right, I can lean back on that for the rest of my career and say I predicted it. So don't necessarily, it's not always bad and it's not always good. We know that. I mean, look at a timetable. You can find out that the market sways and volleys back and forth. Just don't buy into that necessarily. Make decisions based upon sound financial principles and not fear and greed.
You know, speaking of that, full disclosure, I mean, all the people who are listening to this station are inundated here on this station with various approaches to buy gold. I now see that there is a major, very successful shopping club out there. We won't mention any names, that is selling gold bars in their stores, and they're flying off the shelves. People are buying them like crazy. So just give us a little bit of your analysis as to why that is appealing to people right now. And I when I first saw the story, like, this shopping club is selling gold bars, I was like, well, that's weird. Like, that's not something I ever thought I would see going up and down the aisles of a shopping club.
Well, it's a great business to be in because the margins are the margins, right?
I mean, that's the first thing I thought was, wait, they're not selling it unless they're making money themselves off of it.
Yeah, so when you buy gold, you pay one price. When you sell gold, you sell it at another price, and it's no different than like a car lot.
Sure.
Other than the margins are usually a little bit more set. So it's kind of, if you're a purchaser of it, and it's not super volatile or it always goes up, it's a pretty good business to be in. But the answer to gold, so you could not particularly today argue that gold is a terrible investment at times, because gold has shot up like a rocket ship mm-hmm. over the last couple of months. However, gold is now, you know, over $2,000 an ounce. I don't know the exact dollar amount as we sit here speaking, but it was at that price back in 2009, 2010. So what has gold done over the last 10 or 15 years? Nothing. Now, you'll see stats like, well, if we rewind the clock back to 1960, gold has kept up with. Okay, but if we look at the last 10 or 15 years, it's been a terrible investment. If we look at the history of time and say, let's compare from 1900 to today, gold has been a pretty terrible investment, second only to cash. So why are people so interested in gold? Because the narrative for gold, and an accurate narrative at that, is that in periods of hyperinflation, gold is a good storage of value, because we'll always need gold, not just for its kind of intrinsic value of being a holder of wealth, but we need it for certain circuitry boards and different things. So it has some uses beyond just jewelry. But what's the narrative that we're hearing? Well, the U.S. dollar is going to fall off of the world reserve currency. The way that we're spending money and we're just printing money, eventually the dollar is going to be worth nothing. So how do I guard against that? Interestingly, in the same time period where gold is shooting up, the strength of the dollar is going up. So they don't always work in opposition. Sometimes they work in tandem. And I think we like to correlate things like, well, when the stock market's down, bonds are up, so I want to have both. Well, 2022 proved that wrong. The stock market was down 18 and bonds were down 12. That doesn't sound like a real safe refuge to me. Well, here we are. Well, when the dollar goes down, gold goes up. Well, they're both going up. So it's not always that correlated. We are not anti-gold. As a matter of fact, in our portfolios, we own a little bit of gold today. But what I would suggest is don't do what I hear some people doing, which is I got to run for the hills. The stock market's going to collapse. I got to move all my money to gold. Again, many buckets, many purposes, many diversifications of wealth is always the best way.
We talk about volatility in markets here, and we're in a world right now that I think a lot of people would say is more volatile than it was recently. How do those world events and the volatility, you know, whether it's war or whether it's, you know, something approaching war, how does that leak into financial markets? And how does it, more importantly for our audience, as we discuss things here on the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show, how then does that work its way into people's investments as they approach retirement?
Well, I think it would be very easy for anybody to look back through history and look at all the times that we've had, you know, any sort of threat of war or actual war or conflict, the most recent being, you know, the trade towers were hit. And what happened to the stock market immediately following that? Well, it wasn't good.
No.
The stock market went down, and it was already on its way down, and it took even a more accelerated drop. The follow-up to that, though, is what happened post 9/11? Well, the market rallied back and made up gains in a long form.
Post-COVID, same thing. I mean, it just went off a cliff, and then it bounce right back.
Yeah, and I've said this many times on the show, but in the short run, the market is a voting machine. And the vote is fear, greed, what's going on in the world. In the long run, it's a weighing machine. That's just how much money do you produce? What kind of company are you? And that's what really holds true. But as we look at all the conflicts that are happening around the world, we have Iran, Ukraine, you know, Iran and Israel, we have Ukraine, we have the cyber attacks potentially that are happening in the United States.
China, Taiwan, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, is that going to have an effect on the market? Absolutely, it'll have effect on the market. Just look at Iran and Israel in and of itself, and what the Middle East decides to do about that. Could that have an impact on oil? Obviously.
Without a doubt.
Oil has an impact on everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we have some challenges there. The list goes, you have to kind of look at these things and say, what is my goal? And goal meaning, I don't plan on retiring for 30 years. All right, well, does short-term volatility really affect you that dramatically? Now, you might want to pull some off to the sidelines and kind of dollar cost average it back in to level up some of those bumps. Or, you know, in our instance, if we have a growth portfolio and we see these things happening, we might lean a little bit more towards the conservative side of growth on your behalf without you even knowing it, and then lean back into the more aggressive side of growth if we have a correction. But, you know, I think for the people, most of the people that listen to this show, I would guess, and most of our clients, they're really on that kind of 5-yard line or into retirement. What's a concern for them? Well, I don't want my 401k to be a 201k and then I have to work for an extra 3 years. Well, are there things that I can do to prevent that? Yes. Does that have to do with war necessarily? It can have to do with anything. I mean, who saw COVID coming?
Yeah.
It's just good planning at proper times.
So we've talked in this segment a lot about misconceptions and things that you see that you go, you know, people ought to know more about. For instance, like famous wealth advisors, they may not even be licensed. We've chatted about gold. What else is out there on the spectrum that you observe that you think people may not have a complete accurate picture of what this person is saying or what this particular advertisement is encouraging them to do?
Yeah, well, some of the ones that I see is people pitching one thing, but not necessarily drinking their own Kool-Aid. So, for example, I believe that you should be in only growth mutual funds. Well, where did you make your fortune? I made my fortune selling books and educational material on investing, and then I took all that money and bought real estate with it.
Yeah.
Or in one particular woman's instance, you know, the only way that you can succeed in this world is through investing in the stock market while simultaneously her entire fortune was in bonds, particularly municipal bonds and treasury bonds. And when she was confronted with this, she said, well, I have, you know, $25, $30 million. I'm at a different point in my life. I'm just going to eliminate all risk and blah, 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 blah. Well, that's not necessarily, I get it, but you're not telling people that are in different positions to do the same. And I see that in the recommendations of investments as well. For example, so you're 60 years old. Well, what should my allocation be? Well, you should be 50-50 stocks to bonds. Okay, you can base it just on my age, just like that. What I neglected to tell you is I have $300 million and I'm only living on 50 grand a year. Now, how can I invest? Well, any way you want.
Yeah, sure.
You can be 100% stocks. It doesn't matter. Well, simultaneously, this is my last $10,000 and I need to draw off X dollars per. Well, that changes the game as well. So, and I understand in the format of a radio show or a television program, and people are calling in and you're trying to give them advice in a finite period of time, you can't ask them an hour's worth of questions. It's not good radio. But at the same time, you can't provide proper advice with 3 minutes worth of questions.
Is real estate timeless as a good investment, or is that too general of a statement?
I think it's timeless as a good investment, but it has peaks and valleys that we sometimes don't associate with real estate. There's huge tax advantages to real estate. We obviously all need a place to live, mm-hmm. So it's not like houses are going to go away. They're not building any more land, so that's a commodity in and of itself. But I think oftentimes because we can use leverage, we hear these get-rich-quick mm-hmm. strategies, and we go, well, I can invest $10,000, but it's actually acting like it's $200,000, and my renters can pay the rent, and then I'll end up being a billionaire in a week. And reality is if you can't afford that mortgage payment without a renter in there, you probably shouldn't be buying that rental real estate.
That's great advice, and that's what we traffic in here. Josh also joins me every Monday at 12:30 p.m. for Money Monday on The Answer. This show, the Aptus Retirement Blueprint Radio Show, will replay Saturday at noon. It's airing, as you can tell, right now at 7 o'clock. It's when it starts. We hope you'll take advantage of the free consultation that they offer you at Aptus Wealth Management. They're located in Lewis Center. It is off Route 750 in Lewis Center, as I said, not far from 23 and 270. My wife and I sat for the free consultation, and we became Aptus clients. We're very happy with the performance of our investments at Aptus. Where are you on the retirement continuum? You've worked hard. You've maybe saved money, but are you investing it? And if you're investing it, are you certain that you're in the right investment vehicles? There are a lot of choices out there. Josh is not a firm that will put you in one to the exclusion of others. They're a fiduciary required to do federally by law what is best for you. So get to know them. Take advantage of the free consultation. 614-917-1040. Josh, thanks for your time. We'll talk to you again soon.
You as well. Thanks, Bruce.
The
The airing of this program by this station is not an endorsement or recommendation by the station of the products or services discussed in the program. The station does not guarantee the results of any investments made by a listener to this program.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.